A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into a village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been rinsed. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Today we are beginning our celebration of Holy Week. We're celebrating on Monday, Palm Sunday, but transferring into Monday. And this iconic passage leads us into this week. Jesus riding into Jerusalem, calling to mind the prophecy of the prophet Zechariah, that your king comes to you triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Thus the donkey colt language. The point is that it's not a full-blown horse. It's not exactly what you'd expect for a king. But Jesus is always this picture of a different king. And that's not all that new for scripture. The prophet Zechariah imagines that kind of humble leader who is simultaneously victorious. So on this day, it is a festive mood, right? Singing Zana, Hosanna, eating cake, right? Loud conversation, getting to know new people. What would we be doing on this day? And so there's so much joy and excitement as we enter into this week. But soon, we know that the tide will turn. As Will sang that Zana Hosanna a little bit slower, with an air of what is to come this week. This week, we will walk with our Lord as he moves through the holy city, as he disrupts the activities of the city, overturns the tables in the temple, and as the leaders of the city, both religious and political, begin to worry about what he's doing. And as he gathers with his disciples in the upper room for his last supper, as he washes their feet and instructs them, gives them the commandment, the mandatus, we get Monday, Thursday from, the commandment to wash each other's feet, symbolically to serve one another as he has served them. And then as he prays in the garden, as he is betrayed, as he is arrested, tried, crucified, dies, is buried, and then rises again. It is an immense, immense drama, taking us to the lowest points of human existence, as well as the highest peaks, exceeding our experience and knowledge as human beings. And we will walk it together this week. We will walk it together with Christians around the world, walking with Jesus, wondering in amazement at what this all means. What are we doing during Holy Week?
We're not crucifying him again. That is a moment that happened in history. We're not reenacting what has happened. But rather, we are remembering this story so that through it, we might come to know more about the nature of God and the nature of the relationship that God desires with us. In this week of immense drama, of tragedy, redemption, and new life, all of human existence comes to a head. And as we listen to these stories, as we engage with them, we ask questions. We wonder, what is Jesus thinking and feeling at this moment as he rides into the city knowing what is ahead? What are his disciples thinking and feeling as they shout joyfully, yet perhaps aware that danger lies ahead in the holy city? What is a passerby thinking? Where would we be if we were there? What would we be saying and doing? How does this relate to our lives? Where are those moments of tragedy and hope in our own lives? Where is God calling us to new life? In the early church, Holy Week was about moving with Christ through this journey and preparing for the renewal of baptismal vows. At the Easter Vigil, that was the time when people were baptized, as people kept vigil, kept watch, as Christ passed from death to new life. And at that vigil, they would celebrate our own passage alongside Christ as he takes us and leads us through the waters, drowning with him, and then coming up to new life, to resurrection with him. That is the pattern of existence for our whole lives. And during Holy Week, we are especially attuned to that pattern of existence, the dying and risings that comprise our life each and every day. In Philippians 3, Paul wrote, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead." This idea of sharing in Christ's suffering. As Christians, we do not shy away from death and suffering. We are called to look it squarely in the face, to not turn away, but confront it and acknowledge that it does not have the final word. At our service last night, at about this point, Eula started mumbling, "Well, I don't like my sufferings. I didn't choose my sufferings." And it was the perfect moment because, of course, none of us chose these sufferings. None of us want to suffer in this way. But there is one man who chose to take suffering upon himself that he did not mean to take upon himself. And that is our God that we know in the person of Jesus, the Christ, our Messiah, our King, the humble and also victorious one. As we walk through this week together, we will reflect on what it means for our lives, what this ancient story, the truth of God living and dwelling among us, becoming like us and sharing in the depths of our suffering and despair, and yet showing us a new path beyond it. What that means for us. What it means as he takes us by the hand and pulls us up through the waters toward new life. Today we begin that journey, that immense drama. And I urge you, do not rush to the end of the story. Suffering, tragedy, especially tragedy that we ourselves are capable of inflicting, is very difficult to sit with. We want to rush to the end of the story, to the good news. But when we stop and pay attention along the way, when we sit in that space of mourning, the resurrection will be even more bright and beautiful. So this week, stop and pay attention. Pay attention to the world around you. Pay attention to what is going on inside of yourself. Pay attention to the details of the story. Pay attention to how God is moving in Christ. At St. Lydia's, we share the sermon. So first we will share a time of silent reflection. And then after I ring the bell, I invite you to share a story or an experience about Holy Week, what it means to you, and what you notice in Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the beginning of the drama.